Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. This is God's Word. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her servant, her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Why did Jesus come? Jesus came, as he will state later in this gospel, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's our main point today. Jesus, in this story, makes it very clear. It's three stories told together. He makes it very clear that these tax collectors and sinners whom he is welcoming have been lost. He's not saying there's nothing wrong with their life. He's saying they were lost. And the first thing you need to know about anything that's lost is it's not trash. That which is lost, by definition, has value. If it's lost, it's not trash. Now, sometimes things accidentally get thrown in the trash. And something can be lost in the trash. But it itself is not trash. It's simply in the trash. Now that's important because of what Jesus is going to teach us here about the lost. The religious people, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, were complaining that Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus told them a parable, and then another parable, and then another parable. The first one he tells is about a lost sheep. Now, when I was a teenager, I heard a message on this passage, and it helped me understand this passage better than I'd ever heard it before. I had heard this passage. I grew up hearing the Word of God taught and preached. And I was very familiar with this passage. But something was pointed out to me when I was about 14 years old that really stuck. It's an insight about these three stories Jesus tells, and I hope you'll get it because it can impact your life as it did mine. Jesus tells about a lost sheep, a sheep that the shepherd values so much that he would leave the 99 that are not lost to go after the one that is. And then he tells about a lost coin and a woman who turns her house upside down, searching everywhere to find that one coin. It's not the only coin she has. This typically would be one of a collection, small collection of about 10. But then he tells a story about a lost son. And what the speaker pointed out is that these three are lost differently. They're all lost. But how does a sheep get lost? Sheep don't say, I am tired of hanging with this flock. I'm out of here, man, and take off running. Sheep don't do that. Sheep are prey animals. They are in danger of attack, and it's hardwired into their DNA to hang with the flock. That's part of how they survive, is staying together. But sheep are not very bright, and they are very short-sighted. They're long vision is not good. They only see things up close. So the way that a sheep gets lost is it wanders off. It sees a little clump of grass and it goes over and it nibbles on that. And while it's chewing that, it sees another clump of grass right over here. And so it goes over and chews on that one. And then it sees another and it goes and chews on that. And all of a sudden it begins to notice it's not hearing or smelling the other sheep. And so it raises its head up and it looks. And if it can see the other sheep, it'll move back over to where the other sheep are and then resume grazing. But sometimes when it looks up, it can't see the other sheep. And so it does what sheep do. And you've heard this if you've spent any time around sheep. It's calling. And the other sheep, hearing that, will raise up their head and go, and then the sheep moves back over to where the flock is. And they resume grazing. But sometimes when the sheep cries out, there is no answer that it can hear. And at that point, the shepherd has to come and find the sheep. Because the sheep wanders off. That's how it gets lost. It didn't mean to get lost. It doesn't want to be lost. But it's lost. And someone has to come rescue it. Jesus said that the shepherd will leave 99 that are not lost in order to go after the one that is, because he values that sheep. You may remember in the Old Testament when David was in charge of looking after his father's sheep, and on one occasion, a lion attacked the flock and took one of the sheep. And David said, well, my dad's got a lot of sheep. I'm not going to mess with a lion. No. David ran to where the lion was and attacked the lion and rescued the sheep, because one sheep is valuable to a shepherd. Is this a financial thing? No, it's a love thing. He cares about that one. So the sheep wanders off, and the Bible says all of us have gone astray like sheep. In the old King James, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. All of us are like sheep. The Bible tells us we are his sheep. He is our shepherd. We tend to wander off. We didn't mean to. We just saw something that looked good. And so we went to it, and then that one thing led to another and led to another. All of us have a tendency to wander. But the coin didn't wander off. The coin wasn't being careless and wandered behind the cabinet or under the bed. The sheep wandered off. The coin was misplaced. And the problem is it's still lost. The coin represents a person whose start in life or some event in life puts that person where they should not be. It's not a decision they made. It wasn't even carelessness on their part. They are lost because of someone else's carelessness. They're lost because they've been misplaced. We work with a lot of lost coins here at the ranch. But the owner will light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she gets tired of searching. Is that what it says? No. Will search carefully until she finds it. And when she finds it, she says, oh, good. No. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then he tells a story about another lost thing. A son who didn't wander off. A son who wasn't misplaced. A son who was a rebel. A son with such an evil, stinky attitude that he said to his father, essentially, I can't wait for you to die. I want my inheritance now. Give me what's coming to me. This father said, okay, and he divided up the inheritance. The older son gets a double share. The younger son gets a third. So he's given his inheritance, and he says, I am out of here. I don't need you. I don't need this place. I'm tired of life on the farm. Okay? I've got plans. I've got a future that you can't even imagine. I'm going to the city. He went to the far country. And in that place, he was a party animal. He had all this money. And he invited people to party with him. Oh, it was great. It was so much fun. The irresponsible jerk that he was, he didn't even budget. And he ran out of money. And right as he's running out of money, the whole area is running out of money. That's what happens when you've got a civilization that is squandering what it has received from past generations. Not to say anything in particular about ours, unless you're listening. The economy collapsed. And now this kid's broke, far from home, and the whole area is broke. And where are his friends? Apparently they're gone. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. For a Jewish kid, that was as bad as it gets. Okay? I mean, it was the bottom of the bottom. But this kid is not only having to feed pigs, he is so hungry, not being well paid, he is so hungry that he wishes he could eat what the pigs are eating. What do the pigs get fed? Garbage. Trash. The part that isn't food for humans. That's what the pigs get. And he's looking at it and thinking, man, I've got to eat something. I'm starving. And then the Bible says he came to his senses one day. This has been going on for a while. One day, he came to his senses and said, my father takes better care of his servants than this. I've been a fool. I know I can't go back and just say, hey, Dad, decided to come back home. No, that's not going to work. I don't deserve to be part of that family. But if I could just get a job working for him, that'd be great. And so he goes back to his dad with a speech all planned. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm glad he mentioned he'd sinned against heaven, because what he did to his father was not just a sin against his father, it was a sin against God. I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me like one of your hired men. He's got the speech down. But while he's still a long way from home, his father does what a Jewish man would not do. A man of rank and position, a man who had an estate, would not run. It was undignified. But his father saw him while he was still a long way off and didn't say, I think that's it. jerk who left home. Let's see what he has to say. His father ran to him. His father ran to him. The son tried to make a little speech he'd prepared. He wanted to say what we quoted earlier, but his dad didn't even let him finish his sermon. His dad was already celebrating. Why? Because he loved that boy. But that boy didn't deserve his love. Love is not deserved. You and I have all wandered off like sheep. In one sense, we've all been misplaced. I wasn't in the Garden of Eden except in the loins of my father, Adam. But the fact of the matter is, everybody from the time of the fall forward starts out with a sin problem. All of us have a sin problem from birth. And I'm sorry to say, you may not think that you're like the prodigal, like this boy who rebelled and said, I'm out of here. But if you're not, you're like the older brother who's still estranged from the father. Because when the father is loving on the younger son and welcoming him back and throwing a party, the older brother demonstrates that in his heart, even though physically he didn't leave home, in his heart he is far from the father. The father wants him to come inside. When he doesn't come inside, the father goes out to him and says, please come in. And his son says, you have not treated me right. I'm not getting what I'm entitled to. You killed a fatted calf for this son of yours. He doesn't say my brother. You killed the fatted calf for him. You never even gave me a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. How's that for an attitude? I mean, about this time, some of us start to like the prodigal a lot better than the older brother. The older brother's attitude toward his father stinks. Stinks as much as a pig pen. Because he feels entitled. And he feels he's not getting what he deserves. If you and I got what we deserve, we would all be thrown into the fires of hell. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And every single one of us in our own way has rebelled against God's law. We knew we were supposed to do this, but we didn't do it. We knew we weren't supposed to do that, but we did it anyway because it just seemed to us like it wasn't a big deal. Well, you say, no, I've followed the rules my whole life. Remember the rich young ruler? You know, all God's laws, I've kept them since I was a kid. I've been a very good boy. You're kidding yourself. All of us have sinned. We've all blown it. We all need a Savior. The sheep wanders off. The coin is misplaced. The son, whether outwardly or inwardly, is a rebel. The question is, are you still lost? Or have you been found? If you have received eternal life through Jesus Christ, you will want to say, thank you. Thank you for saving. And you'll want to say it not just with your words, but with your life. You'll want your life to be an expression of gratitude to Him for what He's done.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.